Hey everyone, and welcome back to another video from Aman Talks NRL Supercoach. In today's video, going through the round 3 roundup reaction. Unfortunately, wasn't able to do a live stream, so just going to record my thoughts here in terms of how the round went, how my own team went, and some initial trade thoughts potentially coming into round 4. Disappointing week for myself, 970 points. The three trades that I did end up making, Ponga to Latrell, probably the biggest issue of them all. Out of all of the options I could have moved to, like a Val Holmes via duels, even holding Ponga, who got 76, Pappenhausen 76, Teddy 135, went with Latrell because I just thought, I know South's been poor, but he just seems to always manage to score well. Grudge matchup against the Roosters, it did not work out. Obviously, the Roosters absolutely hammering them 48 points to 6, and he got that very late sin bin as well, which obviously capped things off beautifully. So that trade did obviously not go to plan. Levi to Lusick netted me about 3 points, so obviously not ideal, but that was more of a longer term play, although now I'm really starting to rethink my entire hooker position because I've got Harry Grant, who's been, you know, solid enough, but, you know, he's not the Harry Grant getting those 80-90s that I would have hoped for. I know the draw is tough, but still, you would have liked to have seen it at least once in the first 3 rounds. Meanwhile, you've got Appy Coruscant. I think anyone who started with him absolutely killed it. So getting Lusick now feels like I'm a little bit locked, a little bit trapped with my two dummy halves. I don't know when I'm going to get to Coruscant. Maybe Lusick is a stepping stone. Other trade was Lukey. I traded him out eventually for Ronaldo Mulatalo via duels, via Burbo. What that meant was I couldn't do the loot, so I ended up deciding to stick the captaincy on Nico Hines. Thinking was, look, it's a Tigers matchup, so obviously looked good on paper. He's a player who, when even if he doesn't do much, he still scores okay, which actually happened. He scored 53 without really doing much. He actually had a pretty off game, couple of kicks going out on the full. But obviously, I would have hoped for like a, you know, in a 75, 80 plus. So the streak of poor captaincy scores does continue, as does the streak of going sub 1,000. But it is what it is. Obviously, the trade to Latrell, I think, was the biggest one, given that the other options in his position scored very well in comparison. But that's just kind of how the cookie crumbles, I guess, for Supercoach. Just need to pick ourselves up and move forward. We'll go through game by game, and I'll just pick out the highlights. I haven't been able to watch every single game in full, but I've hopefully been able to have a look at like minutes and things like that. With the Penrith Panthers and Broncos game, this was a pretty comprehensive victory by the Penrith Panthers in the end. Cleary was an absolute masterclass. I think anyone who VC looped or had the VC on Cleary was hoping for like a big 150, 160 because he was on close to 100 before even halftime. So finishing on 121, as someone who owns but didn't VC, I was actually kind of happy with that because that was one thing that I was already scared about this week, was that if I was going to have the captaincy wrong, or one of my trades go wrong, and then the captaincy really swung against me, I was going to hurt doubly. In terms of a pass score as well, like I scored 970. You can see I'm not leading in 7 out of my 10 leagues. Probably tells you the par is going to be a little bit higher. I haven't had time to go through and see what those scores are, but I guess at this point of the season, the rank, I'm not as concerned. Obviously, the rank would be nice, but it's more just about, have I got my team right? Have I prioritized the right cash cows? Am I making the right decisions? That's more, I think, what I'm just trying to focus on. So Cleary, obviously very good. Isaac Thungo, again, 100 points, like just backing it up. Like, he still looks really good. He's going to be set for a big, big cash rise because he had a fairly achievable break even. And so he looks really good, but Penrith Panthers do have a buy coming up in round 6, but can't begrudge anyone moving on to him. Brian Toto as well, just showing that, you know, being on the left wing, I think, is better for him. Probably just a symptom of not being outside of Isaac Thungo, who does have the case of the glue hands. Toto able to score a double in this game, 124 points for him. And you can see, obviously, Sione Taruva did score, but 50 in comparison. Thungo is generally going to run himself when possible. And then the rest of the guys, solid as ever. Isaiah Yeo, Mitch Kenny's actually been pretty good as well, the opening rounds, 58. My boy Liam Henry, if you follow me on social media, you would have seen how much I was spruiking and singing his praises on Thursday night. Subbed him in for Spencer Lenu with no James Fisher-Harris. And I think if you've got a luxury trade and you're able to go someone like Poasa Famasuli across to Liam Henry, he looks to be getting around the 35 minutes. Got a little bit more in this game because I suspect he was supposed to be off for the rest of the game. But Lindsay Smith got subbed off with about 4 to 5 minutes to go, and Henry just absolutely killed it in every minute he was on the field. I think he ended up with like 38 tackles. Yeah, just a great sub play in for Lenu. He outscored the likes of a Terrell May this week. So really happy, and I thought my week was starting very well, and it all went kind of downhill from there. And Taylan May, a bit of a quiet game for him. You know, only got, I think, 2 try contributions, I want to say. Having a quick look at the scores here. just a one try contribution actually for one of Brian To'o's tries. So obviously we haven't seen the really big scores out of Taylor May just yet. Seems to be falling to either the winger or Isaac Thongo. But look, this Gun Panthers team, obviously he's not the biggest issue in my side. For the Broncos, obviously the biggest talking point, I think he was Reece Walsh getting injured very early in that game, only scoring the 1 point. Confirmed facial fracture, looks to be out for about potentially 4 to 6 weeks. He actually suffered a facial fracture in 2023 and came back in 4 weeks. So I think that's probably about the time maybe he's going to be out for, which means he'll be back hopefully for the really good run. The issue is that he's going to be coming back to a very, very high break-even. I think he had a very high break-even as it was. Yeah, he had a break-even of 70, scored one. His break-even is going to be in the hundreds. So he could just become really dirt cheap maybe during the Origin period. But, you know, obviously him not being in the side, along with Payne Haas, who's confirmed out for a few weeks. Adam Reynolds, we don't quite have the return prognosis at this point yet. Broncos might not be as tough of a matchup to target now, given that they've got a lot of the big gun players not available in their team. I think in replacement, Cobbo probably may be playing to fullback, so maybe a bit of a pod. But again, draw isn't fantastic, and you know, scored solidly 61. He's not necessarily cheap though, and so I feel like now when prices are starting to move, we saw the likes of Garrick, Val Holmes score really big this week. Feels like maybe as people start to make cash, they're going to want to try to get to those premium set and win guys who know even in a bad week they can score 55, 60, but in the good week like we saw this week, you know, Garrick 95 and Val Holmes went huge with 140. Cobbo just doesn't quite feel like he's going to be in that mix when you're spending that much money. Maybe you put that money instead in your second row forward. Brendan Piakura looked a bit dire, but then he ended up getting a try assist line break in the latter half of the game, which I'm happy with, like, you know, to end up with 57, and I didn't expect a lot against the Penrith Panthers. Outside of this, I guess probably the biggest talking points as well, with Payne Haas being out for a few weeks, who are going to be the beneficiaries in terms of the front row forward minutes? Pat Carrigan was the main one with 80 minutes. Fletcher Baker, NRL.com, has him down for 70 minutes. Corey Jensen, 46, and Xavier Willison, 42. Willison pretty good in his stint, 51 points. Corey Jensen, okay with 48. I think the minutes didn't seem to improve that much for Corey Jensen, but again, it was a tough matchup against the Panthers. I think if you are shopping for your front row forward, maybe you go Liam Henry. You could maybe go Xavier Willison. I'd probably lean towards Henry just because it looks like he's going to be ingrained in that 17. Willison, once the forwards come back, probably going to be out of that side. And maybe if you're looking for a bit of a steady Eddie, Corey Jensen could be the one for you as well over the next couple of weeks. Outside of that, though, probably not too much, I think, relevant-wise out of the Broncos. Next game, Warriors and the Canberra Raiders. So a couple of good things here. Pretty tight win in the end for the Warriors. So RTS was able to play at fullback as Tane Tuipiki did suffer a HIA, I think, in the 45th or 46th minute. So RTS was able to fill in at fullback. He did benefit from this scoring a try, which involved a few tackle busts. So he actually updated massively. He's now on 79. And I calculate, I think it's about 49 base power, which is great to see. So I think RTS, for the time being, is going to be just a hold in my squad. Front row forward is going to be an interesting position, especially, you know, unfortunately, people who owned Payne Haas this week, a lot of them would have sold to Tino Fasulumaawi, but unfortunately, sad news, he looks like he's picked up an ACL rupture, and so he could be out for the remainder of this season. And so from a Supercoach point of view, people may have moved from Payne Haas to Tino, and if they're looking at the third best gun front row forward, it's probably for Noel Blake. Again, showed that he can get those attacking stats. I think that's two tries now in the first three games. Ends up on 77. You would have hoped with a try a little bit more than that, but still, you'll take a 77 score from your front row forward. Other few good scores here as well, like Tohu Harris, solid as ever, 67. Jackson Ford actually seems to be using a lot in attack in this particular game as well, 69. I think he had a line break in there. Dallin did get a try assist. Luke Metcalf, interestingly enough, he has kept the goal kicking this week. We still have no idea what is the reason behind why Johnson isn't goal kicking. It feels like to me it would be some kind of a niggle, but he is still doing in-game kicking. So it's a little bit surprising, not quite sure what's happening there. But again, Luke Metcalf, if you're looking for a bit of a fly in your 5-8 spot, the Warriors still look to be pretty good in attack in general. He's the goal kicker, but he did score a try with the goal kicking and still only ended up on 62. You know, we look at someone like a dual bag, obviously much more expensive, but 52, obviously that's less points, but 52 was just the one try assist. Luke Brooks also scored about 50 as well. Metcalf could be a nice solid option for you. And if you're looking just for value, he's probably the best value 5-8, I think, currently out there. And I think with SJ not goal kicking, it makes him a very hard player to hold or even to buy, you know, if you're, example, looking to maybe move on the likes of a Nico Hines this week. Outside of that, so unfortunately with Fatan Tuipiki, picked up that HIA, looked pretty good up until then, 35 points. He's going to be missing round four because he's on that 11-day stand down. By then, by round five, CNK could be coming back for the Warriors. So that could be the end of Tuipiki in our teams for the time being. And so he potentially may be one who I might sell this week, especially if we see CNK named this week at fullback. Then you'd have to think that Tuipiki is not going to make that side unless there's a setback for CNK. But so probably one, I think if CNK doesn't get named, I'll probably try to hold Tuipiki. I mean, obviously, if we get some news saying that CNK looks set to be back round five, then I might look to move on Tuipiki because he will make some money given that he had a negative break even coming into this week. Yeah, he had a negative 21 break even, scoring 35 points. So he will make some money. So at least we can sell him for a bit of a profit if you started with him. Outside of that, though, I think not much on the Warriors side. On the Raiders side of things, probably the most interesting things here was one Zach Hosking, named on the bench. He still ended up playing 60 minutes, though, and Elliot White had 34. So it would have been nice to know that minute split prior to the game, because I think that would have made people maybe still happy to take on Hosking, end up with 52. He's obviously going to make a lot of cash, but I feel like now if you didn't get him this week, you've kind of missed the boat on some serious cash generation. So probably wouldn't be looking at him now from this point onwards. Jordan Rapp and I, Matt Timico with a couple of good scores here. Shout out to Timico in my draft team. My draft team got less than 100 points under my classic team, and I don't even have a captain nor 17 players in draft. But my draft team does have Tedesco, Val Holmes, and Timico. So my backs did very well in draft, not quite the same in my classic team. Nick Kotrick, decent, but I would only think he won't be there for the long term. Probably not a whole heap of relevance, I guess, elsewhere in this Raiders team. More from a cheapies point of view. So Morgan Smithies, 66 minutes, only for 38. Not a fantastic score in the third week. You would have hoped for a nice bigger score than that just to keep the money rolling. So that's going to probably cap how much of the money he's going to be making. And Ethan Strange, he looked good. He was close to scoring a try as well in this game. So 29 points in the end, which seems to be about his floor. And of course, Danny Levi heard the slander during the week and proceeded to make 29 points in base compared to the 22 and 18 he had dished up in the prior weeks. So Levi to Lusick only netted about 3 points in the end. But look, it is what it is. I've got the guy who got a bigger negative break even. But if you own Levi and you didn't make that trade to Lusick, you could now just maybe look to go Levi to Coruscant, because Coruscant looked fantastic for the Tigers and scored really well in his first 2 weeks now for Supercoach. Onto the Roosters Rabbitohs game. Obviously, as a Roosters fan, fantastic. I wasn't even able to watch this game. I had to just watch the game after, which kind of helped me, I think, cope with the result of this game from a Supercoach point of view. A bit of a hedge here going Latrell against my own team, but it was kind of like a case of, look, I like my Roosters to win, but at least if they do well, it probably means Latrell is doing well for my Supercoach. Obviously, they got absolutely smacked here. There just seems to be an issue with the forwards for the Bunnies. I mean, Kalomatungi scored well with 98. I think he had about 12 tackle busts. A lot of that was being those kind of classic crab runs. So it wasn't like your barnstorming type of tackle busts, but still, doesn't matter for Supercoach. 98 points, good score from him in the end. And I think Murray, 58, I think he made about 55 tackles, according to NRL.com. So really just all in base. And apart from that, no other scores above 50 for the Rabbitohs. I mentioned Latrell a little bit earlier in the recording, only the 36 points in the end after updates. Obviously not thrilled with that score. I think now what I'm just going to be doing is probably just hold him for one more week against the Dogs, who defensively looked quite good against the Titans. Just fingers crossed that he can at least give me like an 80 or 90 plus score against the Bulldogs, and then I think I'll reassess then. Pappy scored well this week, 76 points. Ponga did decent, 76 as well. Obviously Teddy's absolutely killed it in this game, 135, scoring a double. He's looking back to his best, and I do have to put my hands up. You know, like, if I was, you know, if there were really mean people out there, they could probably go back to my video on Tuesday or my live stream. They could go to the fullback section and clip up my rankings, which were probably in complete reverse order from what they should have been. I put Latrell near the top as a replacement, and then I think, I don't even remember who I said, but I remember Pappy and Teddy being a little bit lower on the list. And obviously they've both come out and done pretty well this week. Teddy especially, he probably heard me and said, yeah, that guy, he says he's a Roosters fan, but is he actually saying that I'm one of the worst, not worst fullbacks, but he doesn't think I'm like the top three replacement for Ponga? Mate, I'll show you. 135 points, absolutely killed it. I think if you are shopping for a fullback this week or still looking to buy one, like, I know it's a tough matchup this week against Penrith, you probably just need to curb your expectations on what Teddy will give you this week. But he's going to be entering this week with a big negative break even. So he scored 135 points. He's priced at about 700. and 7K. He had a break even of 28. So look, he's going to make some serious money this week, and he's probably going to have a big negative break even as well, considering how well he's done in the first three rounds of the season. So anyone out there who went Teddy and was telling me to go Teddy, like, look, I fully get it that I made the wrong decision in the end, but let's see how Latrell goes against the Bulldogs. But yeah, at the moment, he's looking very good. And also don't forget that I know it's Penrith coming up in round four. Round five, though, the Roosters do have the Bulldogs again, if you're looking to play the draw a little bit. Dom Young, again, scored huge in this game, 150 points. Just, we saw again what he could do, what he was doing last year, I should say, at the Knights, where so many times you just give him some clean ball and he can just make things happen. He gets those line breaks. He can feed it back on his inside. You know, he scored a double. He scored only one try, but scored two try assists in that. Heaps and heaps of tackle busts. Like, yeah, that right wing spot for the Roosters is a bit of a golden spot. I know Manu can be a bit of a glue hands himself at some point, but this Roosters team really looks to be clicking at the beginning of the season. So there's nothing really wrong with investing in their players. Dom Young is obviously going to be a little bit expensive at 640K, probably going up in price. But I think Teddy's going to be one of the most traded in players next week. And for good reason, I think. You know, he's proven it again. He can score big and, probably silencing the doubters like myself who probably thought his best Supercoach days were over. Otherwise, I think the Roosters, of course, looked fantastic in this game. But I don't know how much that was due to the Rabbitohs being poor, Roosters being good. But obviously, a lot of good scores here in a 48-point win. So, Manu scored very well with 84. Sandon Smith, 88. Victor Radley, I know a few people have had some interest in him. Racked up 57 points. He's generally playing good minutes, but I think at his price, around the 500s, feel like you can probably get similar output from guys who are in, like, say, the 400K range. So, just at the moment, just feels a bit in the middle. He's not quite a top-tier premium gun, nor is he offering great value. So, that's the only reason why I haven't really considered him myself. Sam Walker, 56. He did score a double, so obviously shows he does have that low base. Connor Watson, was great to see him back in the Roosters team scoring a try as well. Terrell May, 44 points, 52 minutes. So at least the minutes were kind of what we expected. Just really wasn't the game for middle forward, though. Like, you know, if you're scoring so many points, there's less ball in play, less of the kind of work in the middle. So obviously not amazing to get the 60-plus score we got last week, but that's kind of how the game went. So I'd expect, you know, a game against the Penrith Panthers, for example, Roosters aren't going to score 48 points, touch wood. So I think Terrell May still is going to be okay as a longer-term option. The Minister was still looking pretty good at 52. On the Rabbitoh side, we've kind of spoken about them. Not a whole heap of interest. I think, like, as I said, if you're a Latrell purchaser like myself, I think you give him this week against the Bulldogs, and then we just reassess in round five, because round five, Pappy has got, he comes back from his bye, and I think he versus in round five, the Broncos. But as the Broncos away in Suncorp, if Munster is back, you know, Storm traditionally do well against the Broncos, as we saw, could be a weakened Broncos team without Reece Walsh, without Payne Haas. That matchup all of a sudden doesn't look as bad as it first did. Then I think he's got the Bulldogs in round six. Ponga has got the Dragons in round five at home. So again, we've got guys who I might just want to move straight back to. So the move may not have paid off, but I'm happy to give it a week and then reassess. I know when I bought Latrell, I was looking at it as a four-week play, but I think we also need to be kind of aware that when we've made a mistake, don't just kind of dig your heels into the ground and stick to it. Like, if you made a mistake, honor it, realize that you've made it, and then, you know, look to rectify it. And that could be just moving him on in round five. So we'll see how we go, but we'll give him this game against the Bulldogs next week. Speaking of the Dogs, I say all of that about giving him the game against the Bulldogs, but if the Bulldogs are going to have a complete shutout, then I'm not hoping for too much out of Latrell. Obviously, any Carraz owners and holders out there, you'd be very happy with 115 points. So a couple of people were suggesting in the live streams earlier this week, you know, do we sell Carraz? And I kind of looked at it as, you know, if you needed to fund a move, like, he probably was one of the better trade-out candidates, but, you know, looking into it a bit more, is like, well, it was a matchup against the Titans at home. And so, you know, that the Titans, they were very, very poor against the Dragons in round one. So, you know, I think ideally you would have kept him, and obviously you would have profited much here with 115 points. Titans in general just look very poor. You know, no Fifita yet, no Jaden Campbell, and really bad for them. Tino Fasu-Mulaawi, you can see only the 30 points, but he picked up what looks to be an ACL injury, so his season could likely be over. That to me just obviously is really, really, really upsetting for him, really sad. You know, like, he's obviously a great player in our teams, great player for Queensland and for the Titans. But from a Supercoach point of view, it probably just means, look, we've seen it already in the first two games. The Titans have leaked, 32 points, and I can't remember what it was against the Dragons, but it was quite a bit. So I think you look at them as a matchup to target for your attacking players. You know, next week they come against the Dolphins. You know, if you've got money in the bank, you know, obviously they didn't play this week, but someone like a Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou playing fullback against this team could do very, very well. I'm a Jack Bostock owner. You know, don't forget about these guys just because they didn't play this week. They've got a good matchup against the Titans. A lot of them will have negative break-evens. There's some good potential for attacking stats for your Titans players, for your Dolphins players coming into round four, I should say. But definitely Titans looks like a matchup that you can target. And even in terms of, you know, there's going to be obviously be someone who backfields for Tino now that he's out for the rest of the season. Jamin Jolliffe is probably the man to step up. Him and Mo Fodawaker. Jolliffe is about 480k, 51 points. So not fantastic, but it's fine. And then Mo Fodawaker, only 35 points. And obviously they're getting smashed. And so no offense to Titans fans, but like, you know, in a game like this, the middle forward spend a lot of time just kind of under the post and not making too many tackles. So even though Tino's out, my first thought wasn't like, oh, I must buy the replacement Titans front row forward, because even though there may be some extra minutes to go around, I just don't know what the prospects are going to be. Bo Fermor, if anyone's held onto him, you'd be fine with a 53, pretty much all in work rate when no points are scored by the Titans. So again, you'll definitely take that. He outscored the likes of, say, Sean Lane this week, who only ended up scoring 35 points. On the Bulldogs, obviously pretty good win for them. So Karaz, we've already spoken about. Reed Marnie, 96. Look, I'm not going to get tempted by Reed Marnie when I think you've got Grant, you've got Coruscant, you've got Joey Lussick there. I don't see people flocking to Reed Marnie, not after what he's done to Byers in the last few seasons. Viliama Kikau with some good attacking stats, scored a try from a charge down. I believe he also got he also did get a try assist for 82 points in the end. So if you took a punt on him, you'd be happy. Drew Hutchinson, any owners who held onto him or even played him this week, you'd be delighted with a 64. That's probably going to help in terms of the money, in terms of stabilizing him. He had a break even of 35, so he will make a little bit of money. And that will be in his rolling average for the longest period of time as well. The other Bulldogs, kind of cheapy, Jamin Salmon, 35 points. This is probably one of the calls maybe I did get correct. I just looked at him as a kind of a mid-30s to 40 player. Didn't play huge minutes. Neither did Josh Curran, to be fair. Still coming off the bench. But he ended up on 52, Curran, which is good because just solid as. And if he ever gets decent minutes, he's always going to generally still pump out pretty good work rate. So happy enough with a pretty solid 52 from Curran, especially he had a negative break even. But yeah, Jamin Salmon just feels a little bit eh. Feels like a guy who's just not going to make money, but also at the moment isn't going to lose your money. So probably not your biggest priority, but if he's a stepping stone to like a, you know, if you can upgrade him to like a Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou, if you've got luxury space, you could go maybe him to like a Jack Bostock. He's got a really good matchup against the Titans and has got a negative break even. You've got a couple of options that you can maybe look to flick Salmon onto if you had to. But outside of that, not really much interest from the Titans players. And then in terms of the Bulldogs, Sam Hughes, only the 23 points in the end. So again, probably at the moment just isn't a reliable player in your 17s. On to the Dragons-Cowboys game. Now, this was a bit painful as someone who, not seriously, but I did flirt with the idea of going with Val Holmes via Ponga. Like it had probably happened in maybe one or two of my trade scenarios. My thinking was actually that I thought the Dragons were going to respond and that the Cowboys weren't just going to go there and absolutely trounce them. And in the first half, it was kind of looking that way. And I thought, okay, yeah, I think I made the right decision here. I think Val Holmes might go like 70, but he's not going to kill me. But then the Dragons just, they bombed a try. Faitala Mariner bombed a try off a Ben Hunt kick. And then from that point onwards, the Cowboys just went and scored a bunch of tries. And they ended up just scoring 46 at the end of the day. But what this did game show me is that I think Cowboys playing away from home or in general, they're still a team that you can look to target for scoring points. But they can also very easily themselves score a lot of points. So it feels like their games are generally going to be, you know, high scoring in nature. So obviously Val Holmes absolutely killed it. 144 points. Scored a try. Got a try assist for one of the other players' tries. I can't remember who it was exactly for the Cowboys. Maybe it was Tom. Actually, I think it was Tom Dearden scoring. Who again, third week in a row scored. Just seems to make a mockery of me because in the preseason I was like, nah, Dearden. It's not the guy, it's dual bags, and he's gone 65, 65, and 70 points and outscored Dylan Brown, scoring a try in each of his first three games. But yeah, Val Holmes, absolutely just, he's a perfect kind of center for Supercoach, right? Like, he can get attacking stats, you know, he's got errors in his game and defensive lapses. Those kind of things, though, don't really hurt you too much for Supercoach, unless you're conceding errors or penalties. Maybe the missed tackles. You know, he had 4 missed tackles, but you'll excuse him for that when he gets you a try assist, 28 points in goals, 14 points in tackle bus, 13 tackles, 2 line breaks. The list goes on. He's got plenty of runs. He's got a line break assist. He's got 34 points in runs. Like, you know, very good base stats from Val Holmes. That's 34 plus 9 net tackles. We're looking at 43 purely just in base. You add the offloads, we're looking at 47. Add the tackle busts, 47 plus 14. What is that? Quick math. What was that? 61 points in base power, plus the goal kicking, plus the attacking stats. Like, we saw it last week, 54 points is what he got, and he had a terrible game with heaps of errors. So I think, annoyingly, with that really big score and a 47 break even, he's going to be going into the 800s, so he's going to get difficult to get to. But you know, Broncos this week at home looks good now because of these injuries. Then they've got the Titans. Yeah, I'm kind of regretting now not going Val, because obviously it would have been nice to get 144 points, but he just would have been a great long-term hold, I think, in our squad until Origin pretty much. Because apart from Panthers in round 8, you know, Broncos now looks good, Titans, and you're looking at Parramatta, at Combank, which you know is a point-scoring ground, Sharks, we know can concede points, Dolphins, Titans again, Rabbitohs, Tigers, before round 13 bye for Origin. Cowboys backs, Val Holmes, they look really, really quality options. And so I think, you know, you're probably going to see Val as one of the most traded in players next week. And I haven't really toyed with how I could do it. Maybe I just go Latrell straight to him. I'm not sure. But, like, you know, Val Holmes is actually looking like a seriously good option. Just this draw looks unreal for the Cowboys. Especially when you look at the games like the Broncos in a little bit more detail. And then Penrith in round 8 is obviously tough, but at least it's a home game for them. So, yeah, I think, again, someone like a Drinkwater, I briefly thought about, but I didn't end up going with him. He ended up scoring very well, 105 points. Reece Robson, I think, again, this is one of the frustrations I'm just having with my own squad, is that, you know, I started with Harry Grant, which is the proven gun. I think I have harmed myself by wanting to fit in more guns, and I knew that he had a tough draw, and I've always got a bit of a thing of, like, I'm a little bit afraid of Harry Grant and not owning him. But it would have been nice, I think, if I'd probably had a bit more conviction with myself to look at the value. Someone like a Coruscant, if I just had to play someone else for 1 week, Coruscant, he's now gone 82, 100 plus. Anyone who started with Reece Robson, he's gone like 60 plus, I think 70 plus, and now he's gone 95. You're absolutely laughing. You've saved money on not getting Harry Grant. You're making more points on him as well, and you're avoiding a buy now in round 4. So anyone who started with Reece Robson, you've done very well, I think, with that move. And again, a little bit kicking myself that I didn't fully really consider it myself. I was just obsessed with getting at the guns, and I want Harry Grant. I'm sure Grant will come good, but just for the first 3 weeks, it just hasn't worked out so far for my hooker position, that is. You know, obviously scoring 46 points, we mentioned Tom Dearden. I've got Dealbags and Lockie Galvin, who I just don't think I can move either on at this point, so I'm kind of locked into the pair of them. Murray Taulagi, 64 points. Finifor Yaki, 57 points in the end. He did score a line break try in that 57, so just going to have a quick look at it here. Yeah, he did score a line break try, so obviously got a few extra tackle busts out of that. So you take away that 27 points, you're looking at 30 points in work rate for him. And he did play 57 minutes. He did have a HIA towards the second half of the game, but 57 minutes does still feel like maybe that's thereabouts of what he's going to be playing. Maybe add another 3 to get to the 60-minute mark. And so the work rate wasn't quite there, you know, only the 30 points in base in the 57 minutes, which is actually, to be honest, for an edge back role, it's fine. But he showed that he can get the attacking stats. We saw the really good draw for the Cowboys there as well. So he'll make a little bit of money this week, but you know, it could still be a decent downgrade option for you in your second row forward if you still own the likes of Aluki. Ruben Cotter, only the 47 points. He did pick up a bit of an ankle knock. So unfortunately, no Magic Sponge podcast this week, so I don't get my injury fix. Demet NRL Physio, where's my content? so with Cotter, picked up an ankle knock, so just kind of one to monitor. But obviously, if you bought him in this week, probably a little bit disappointed with only the 47 points in the end. On the Dragon side of things, obviously, they still scored some points. Ben Hunt has actually been fine, Supercoach-wise, 77 points. Did miss out on another 12 because Faitala Mariner dropped the ball stone cold over the try line. But Ben Hunt has been fine. But I guess maybe he's an option if people are looking to sell Nico. You know, if you own Cleary, you're definitely holding him. But we know Ben Hunt can be kind of rocks or diamonds. So I'm still not fully convinced if he's the one who I'd be looking to downgrade to. Moses, we saw, scored 109. But at least we know that we're seeing that the halfback position can score decent points. Lomax here, 98, very, very well done by him. Scored a double with the goal kicks. Still really good work rate, so 23 points in runs, plus of 5 in tackles. So we're looking at 28 in base, which is actually about 10 points lower, I should correct myself, than in the last couple of weeks. But he scored a double here, did get a line break in there as well. So I think if anyone went Lomax last week, you were a little bit disappointed with his score last week, but this week he's come out and done well. So I think Lomax obviously still could be a good option to trade into. But now the only thing with Lomax, again, looking at the scores that we saw this week, the likes of a Val Holmes, the like of a Garrick, Dom Young, I feel like people are just going to be moving to them just because those guys play for better teams than the Dragons. And so I feel like Lomax is still going to probably remain a bit of a pod. So if you're an owner, that might be good for you. Or you might be a little bit frustrated, like, oh, I've gone the lower owned guy, but I really want to maybe instead now have someone like a Val Holmes. Carl Flanagan did well, 71 points, scoring a try. And Jack DeBellin, pretty solid as well with 70 points. Outside of that, though, probably not considering a whole heap of these other Dragons players. So next game, obviously probably the biggest frustrating one for myself, at least this week. Apart from the troll not very doing very well, captaincy on Nico Hines. So 53 points in the end, which honestly, based on how he played, probably just shows how good of a floor he does have. Like, he had 28 tackles, so 23 when you account for the missed tackles. And then if you look at the runs, he did have 10. So we're looking at 33 in base stats for Nico Hines. But if you see here, minus 8 in errors, just threw an intercept towards the end of the game. Two kicks he kicked out on the full as well. Like, he just wasn't looking good. And he has looked a bit quiet, I think, in the opening rounds. And, you know, people will probably think this could be the impact of Trindle, because the Sharks themselves have actually looked fine. So part of me is thinking, is Nico Hines the same Supercoach player that we've had in the last two seasons? You know, not last year he was the highest averaging, I want to say highest scoring player as well. He's got one matchup against the Raiders this week before he does have a bye in round 5. So there's obviously going to be a lot of people wondering, what do they do with Nico? So just having a quick look here, he did have 175 break even, scoring 53. He's going to drop obviously a huge amount of cash, and we'll have another high break even coming into next round. My first thought hasn't been to move him on, but thinking about it a little bit more, I was wondering if, you know, if I did move him on, especially before the buy in round 5. Again, I can't really not recommend it, because I kind of had the same thought processes with Ponga this week. Sell for even potentially 2 weeks, and then maybe just buy back and pocket the money. The only difference this week, it feels like, with Hines, that I'm going to cop a big price drop, but you could already be copying another big one, and he could be going down 200, 250K by the time you actually want to bring him back. And, you know, I know the Tigers looked very good in this game, but people have just seen Moses score 109 today, and they're going to look at his matchup against the Tigers and say, easy, Nico to Moses, got the Tigers matchup, you know, old club, whatever, and I'm going to bank a lot of money, make some upgrades elsewhere on my team, and then go back to Nico after his bye once he gets to round 6. That could potentially be a play for you if you're looking to sell Nico. Because if you look at the draw after round 6, it's pretty good, I would say. Like, Rabbitohs, we know, look pretty shot at the moment. Cowboys at home is decent for point scoring. Raiders again. Then it's the Dragons, who he's got an insane record against them. Melbourne is tough. Roosters. So kind of by round 10, you're probably looking at it a little bit as round 10, 11, 12 is fairly tough for Nico. So then it's a bit weird. Like, if you sell him now, you maybe bring him back for round 6 to 10. Would you sell him again at that point? Probably not, because at that point you're going to be prioritizing holding guys who don't play Origin, and he's probably going to fall into that bucket. So I think there is definitely a play to do that. And actually, looking ahead, you're going to want him during this Origin period. Parramatta, Broncos, Dolphins, Bulldogs, Titans, they're pretty good matchups, and I think Nico will be close to very highly owned in that period of time. So I can see some merit to potentially selling Nico. He will have a very high break even. Like, it's all well and good to say, like, yeah, look, he doesn't have to do much and still can accumulate a good floor of 53. But at the end of the day, we're paying 900 plus K. We don't want him to get 53. We want him to be getting 90, you know, 80s, 90s, 110s, 120s. We look to captain him, as I did this week, and obviously it didn't quite work out. So I'm not totally sold on it. I just won't say that it's not a good move. because I can see merit in it. And I did similar myself with selling Ponga this week to try to capitalize on the money changes. So, you know, maybe him to Moses could be the play. Maybe Cherry Evans, because Cherry Evans has got the Dragons in round four. That could also be an option for you as well. So, yeah, something like going to Hines out, I think, could be a very popular move this week. Mulatalo, look, him and Talakai were kind of, people were just deliberating between the two of them, 57 and 56 at the end. Mulatalo, I ended up trading him in, and I won't be kidding myself, I was very lucky, I think, to get 56 from him, because he scored about 20 points right at the death, got a line break, and then also got a forced dropout, which added about, you know, kind of 16 to 20 points. He was sitting on about mid-30s at that point. So I'm happy to get the 56. I'll get the money out of him over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, I think round five, you know, if he again throws up a pretty, you know, mid-tier score against the Raiders, I'll probably just look to move him on at that point. He could be a stepping stone to another fullback, or he could might be my ticket to someone like a Val Holmes, who I think in round five has got the Titans. That could be exactly the player that I do come round five. Now, on the Tigers, so Coruscant, 105 points. He looked fantastic. He goal kicked except for one goal kick towards the end of the first half, which Aiden Caesar did take. I wonder if that was just because Coruscant was off the field or maybe cramping up, which he was towards the end of the game. But he looked tremendous in this week. 82 points as well the week prior. I think any Coruscant owners are laughing. And I think he will be also one of the most traded in players this week. So coming into this week, he had a break even of 25. He has not changed in price yet. This will be this coming week, round four, will be the first week he'll change in price. Again, this is something I'm considering. Would I go Grant out for Coruscant, make up money? Grant is on the buy in round four. I can see that being a very popular move. The only issue is that I know I'm going to want Harry Grant back in like round six. So again, how many trades do I want to be booking in for myself? This is going to be something I'm deliberating myself. But yeah, Grant to Coruscant, I can see a lot of people doing that. You bank about 100 plus K, get a guy who's probably going to be likely going up in price. And honestly, Coruscant could just be a keeper. He's goal kicking. He could just be very easily averaging 65 to 68 if he just retains his goal kicking for the season. So yeah, definitely firmly on the radar. Obviously, a lot of other good scores here. Dream Buller, Justin Olin with attacking stats. Alex Seyfarth did score a try as well. Lockie Galvin, again, he's going to be a huge trade-in target, I think, for people in this week. And I really can't fault it. You know, 72 this week, got a try assist. Even without the try assist, he's just got a fantastic work rate. So 20 tackles, 2 points in tackle bus, 12 points in offload. So that's what, 20, we're looking at 34 points there, plus another 15 in runs. We're looking at 49 points in base power, and he scored pretty much the same last week. Like, his floor is crazy, and his bottom dollar, 204K. The Tigers do have a good run of games. This is one thing that, you know, preseason, again, another reason why I'm kicking myself about Coruscant, was like round 2 to 6, they actually had the best ranked draw for hookers, and he would have been a perfect stepping stone to someone like a Grant. And this is because they've got a good draw. They've got the Eels, which is great. And then they've got the Dolphins, Dragons. Penrith round 7 is obviously tough. But rounds 4, 5, 6, perfectly fine. So I think Galvin is going to make a lot of money. Looking at it, he had a break even of negative 11 coming into this week. That could be even lower now that he scored a 72 point. And so I think probably for most of you out there, you're probably going to be doing one of your centers to him via someone like an Ethan Strange. Say Tane Tuipiki to him. That's probably a fairly decent move. You're freeing up probably by that point 150K. So I think he'll be a very popular trade in this week, and I can't fault it. I already own him, which is great. But yeah, I think he'll be very highly traded in this week, and for good reason too. Isaiah Papali'i, 71, did score a try. So the base power stats weren't as big as last week when he got 67. But again, two good scores in a row. I can see IPAT being a potentially popular trade in for people this week. Fanua Pole, 59 points, all in base power. And then after that, we're looking at some scores kind of in the lower 50s and kind of lower than that as well. For Tarpe, potentially could be an option, only 38 though, so I don't think he'll be making a stack of money at this point. You're probably this week going to be prioritizing from the Tigers, Coruscant, and I think Lockie Galvin. On to the Sunday games, just to wrap up the video. So we're looking at 39 minutes already. So obviously a pretty good win by the Eels in the end, although I do think the Sea Eagles were a little bit dudded by... you know, that no try call against, not Tom Trevoy, against Cooler, that Turbo would have set up. Because I didn't really see the obstruction. You know, Luca Moretti probably wasn't going to go and make the tackle, but that's how the ruling went. But Turbo, of course, looked good again in this game. that first try that he scored, that where he spread the ball out to Garrick. Garrick made the break down the right, back inside to Turbo. I feel like we just saw that all the time in 2021 as the classic Manly shape. Spread it to the edges, get their fast guys out there to make the breaks, and then pass back on the inside to a on-rushing Turbo. I feel like we saw that playbook a lot in 2021. So it was good to see that again this week. Garrick, 95 points. Again, I think I'd prefer Val Holmes just with that draw being so much better. Like, if we look at Manly's draw, it's definitely not as good, I think, as the Cowboys on paper. You know, so we're looking at Dragons this week is great, but then we're looking at Penrith and then the Warriors. Titans round 7, though, is good. Then Parramatta, Raiders, Dolphins, Broncos, Melbourne. To be honest, actually, it's pretty decent. You know, outside of this Panthers matchup in round 5, you know, you would happily play Garrick, I think, in every one of those weeks. So again, he would firm as a good trade-in option for a center wing. Him versus Val, I think I'd take Val. I think the draw probably still looks a little bit better for Val Holmes. excuse me. But yeah, him and Turbo looked very good in this particular week. And Turbo, as I mentioned, if he gets that try assist, we're looking at another 12 points to his score. And so we're looking at probably closer to 90 plus. So Turbo, I think if you bought him this week, you'd be happy, unless if you sold Tedesco. I know a couple of people who did that, and that's that's a tough one to cop. But yeah, Turbo looks really good, 79 points. In the end, obviously, he would have paid off another 20 plus points in terms of captaincy, but not a huge swing, I guess. But he did look very good, and Manly themselves still looked good in attack. But the Eels were able to bring this game back. Mitch Moses had a great game, 109 points. Scored a try, 3 try assists. So it's just one of these games where everything just seemed to go through him. Dylan Brown, conversely, only had the one try assist for 52. So again, Moses could be a popular trade-in replacement for Nicho Hynes. The only thing, he's still not goal-kicking. He obviously still isn't 100% with this groin issue that he had. Clint Gutherson was goal-kicking. But he does have the Tigers round 4, although one could question how good of a matchup actually is that. Then we're looking at the Raiders, Cowboys, Dolphins, Manly again before the bye in round 9. Then he goes Broncos, Melbourne, Souths. So it's not a bad draw, but it's not like amazing. But it is a home game against the West Tigers. I can see the appeal with people wanting to go Mitch Moses. And I think a lot of people are probably going to be, you know, myself included, will probably say, well, the Tigers looked really good this week. You know, I don't think that's that good of a matchup. But then, unfortunately, Tigers, we've seen this in the past, inconsistency, one good performance, and then they back it up with something atrocious. And so the Eels could still profit massively in this game. So I think if I was personally looking to sell to a halfback, it'd probably be one of Moses or maybe like a Cherry Evans. This is if we're selling Nicho. And yeah, probably a tough one because Cherry Evans only scored 35 points. With any chance that Moses gets back the goal kicking, I'd still probably lean Moses, but maybe that's a little bit reactionary given that he's only just scored 109 points. If the points were reversed, I'd probably say I'd buy Cherry Evans. Otherwise, apart from that, no one else really scored too well for the Eels, none over 70. Dylan Brown, 52. Sean Lane did play the full 80 minutes, so only 35 in work rate. His work rate does seem to be a little bit lower than what it was in 2022. Again, Tigers matchup this week, he just doesn't feel like the biggest priority to deal with in my team. So I'm probably just, for the time being, I think going to hold. But I could potentially move him on to maybe free up some money. You know, if I needed to go someone to maybe him down to like a Finnefor-Yaki, maybe to a Kaipius Paul, who ended up actually playing 80 minutes himself. You know, I don't hate that kind of a move if you are looking to free up some funds. But I feel like people are more likely going to be doing that by selling the likes of, say, a Nicho. Nicho Hynes, that is. So Sean Lane, obviously not fantastic, but look, just didn't seem... you know, Dylan Bragg was still using him at some points during the game. And Joey Lussick, obviously no attacking stats, only 32 points. He did play the full 80, which was encouraging. But yeah, only the 32 points, no attacking stats. I would have hoped for a little bit more in terms of work rate without the attacking stats because he got about 55 base power last week. So 32 points does feel a little bit on the low end of things for him, unfortunately, this week as a trade-in. But look, he'll still make a lot of money coming into round 4. Outside of that, for Manly, I think Olakuatu with 51 points still is an option as a gun for second row forward to trade in. Does have this good matchup against the Dragons, but obviously no major attack stats in this one, so only the 51 points for him in the end. And Burbo, who because of my trade, I didn't actually end up playing, only 21 points. Again, now that I'm thinking about it more and more, like round 1 obviously scored the attacking stats with the try, but since then he's gone 33 and 21. He doesn't have that huge work rate, so I think Burbo, now that he's up in my second row forward reserves, I probably actually won't look to be playing him most weeks, unless the matchup is good, which could be this week against the Dragons. Final game of the round, the Knights versus Storm. Annoyed at myself. I thought I tipped the Knights, and then I checked ESPN footy tips, and I actually had tipped the Storm. And I was like, yes, Knights won. Got my tip right. And I look, and I was like, wait, what? I stuffed up. Got it wrong. But obviously, a good win in the end for the Knights. Pretty low-scoring game, 14 points to 12. Dan Gagai seems to just be what he was from last year. High work rate, lots of tackle busts. Got a try with a line break in this game for 84. Ponga, solid as. Really good first half. He was on 60 points at the end of the first half, and I thought, oh, here we go. Made the trade to Latrell, and Ponga's just going to go get 110, 120, and I'm just going to look like an even bigger idiot than I already am. But 76 in the end, after what he was on at first half, I'll take it. But he looked good. Cogger did seem to work well for him. Again, I've only been able to watch the KO mini of this game, but it still seemed like Cogger was able to just get early ball to Ponga on that left-hand side, give him a little bit more space. So the sign was encouraging for KP in this particular week. Same with KPP. 65 points for Kai Pierce-Paul, played the full 80 minutes. Dylan Lucas was on the bench in the final team. He came onto the right-hand side. Tyson Frizzell moved into the middle. So that was a really encouraging sign for Kai Pierce-Paul playing full 80 minutes. Look, he could be a really great second row forward trade-in as a downgrade for one of your mid-range second row forwards. Maybe if you've got duels, maybe say a Tain to a Picky, maybe you can flip him to second row forward via Salmon, get someone like a Kai Pierce-Paul. He looks a pretty good bet. Good draw, we know, for the Knights after round four. Round four, they've got Warriors away, but then after that, they've got a really good run of games. Becomes Dragons, Roosters, I think Bulldogs, and a lot of other good matchups that I can't quite remember top of my head. So KPP, 65 points all in work rate. It's a really, really strong outing from him. We've seen that in round one where he had like 43 points in the first half. He clearly has good work rate. So definitely encouraging signs there. Leo Thompson, 47. I know some people are looking at him as a front row forward option, but probably not exactly what you're after there. On the Storm side, so Pappy did score a try, 76 points. Nick Meaney, 75 points with the goal kicking. So Pappy did score the try, so it looked good. So I think anyone who's downgraded Ponga to him, you obviously got the same score, pre-updates, but you obviously banked like, you know, more than 200k of cash. You'd be pretty happy with that particular downgrade this week. And as I mentioned with Harry Grant, 63 points. He got one line break assist, but that was it. I'm just hoping for Storm to get back their forwards. There was no Christian Welch in this game. Sofa Solomona should be back for them pretty soon as well. Hopefully they just get these forwards back and then Harry Grant can start making a roll on. Because at the moment, he's giving me fine scores, but he's not giving me points what I paid for. And I knew that the draw was tough for the first opening rounds. So I think I'm just going to end up just being patient with him. And I think I'm just going to be holding him through and maybe just look to partner Coruscant with him eventually. Which feels strange because I've only just traded in Lustig, but Lustig could just be the stepping stone to get to someone like a Coruscant. So that's kind of my general thoughts, I guess, of the week. I'll quickly show you my team as well. As I said, 970 points. Honestly, I don't really have a firm view on what my potential trades will be for round four. I probably just need to let it digest. obviously the Storm are on the bye, so I'm going to have to play Lusick this week, but he does have the Tigers, which is fine, and I've got some depth in that. I've got Bostock, who I'll probably be playing for Toy Peaky, and then I can still reserve Burbo, who's got the Dragons. So at the moment, don't really know what I'm going to be doing with trades. I've got about 37k in the bank. Maybe Spencer Lenu will be upgraded to someone like a Josh Kerr, but again, if Fisher Harris isn't named for the Penrith Panthers, I could just roll out Liam Henry again for another week, but we'll discuss this during the week. Until then, hopefully you all had a good weekend and hopefully you enjoyed my thoughts on the round that was. And catch you all in next week's preview. See you then.